This morning to open up to the book of James. James is all the way towards the back. James chapter number one is where we're going to start off at. Not only is it where we're going to start, it's where we're going to finish, and then we're going to start back up tonight. So there's a passage of scripture that God's laid upon my heart that I think will be helpful and good. It may be a little different than a Sunday morning type message, but I think it's something that is important, and I think it's something that we can learn and grow from. James chapter number one. James is a wonderful book of the Bible, and the Bible does so many great illustrations and object lessons that in James chapter one, there's an object lesson that's, I think, it's really important. The Bible compares itself, or the Word of God, to a mirror. So I brought a mirror out. I know you're going to say, well, I don't want to look at myself. Well, the reality is that's what many of us say when we want to look at the Bible. And it's kind of interesting. In the morning time, I would guess, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but probably everybody in this room looked in the mirror this morning. I'm assuming. I know some guys don't have as much hair as other guys, but most of us would have looked in this morning. And I'm guessing when we looked in it this morning, there's something we changed about ourselves. There's something we looked at and we saw, okay, maybe my hair needs to be combed. Maybe my face needs to be washed. For some ladies, maybe I need to put a little makeup on. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. And the Bible is something that's a representation of the mirror. Did you know that there's mirrors out there that can make you look skinnier? I don't have one of those. This is not one. There's mirrors out there that can make you look bigger. And I might have one of those, but but the mirror, a flat, natural piece of glass, will show what's in the object that is looking at. And the great thing about the Bible is the same thing. If you look into it, it's going to show you the things you need to work on, the things you need to change, and the things that maybe you're doing right. And that's one of the things it shows here in James chapter number one. So I'm going to set this mirror. I'm going to look at it this way over here, so that way you don't have to be looking at it the whole entire time. But the thought process, and we'll come back to that, is when you look in the mirror, do you change something? Most of us will say yes. Sometimes when my boys, especially when they are younger, I would ask them the question, did you even look in the mirror this morning? Because maybe their hair was combed wrong, or maybe there was some type of mark that was on their face, or their hands were dirty. Did you even check things out? And I think sometimes when we look at the Word of God, we give more attention to what the mirror shows us than what the Bible shows us. And there's some really wonderful truths in here. My goal is that by tonight, in verses 26 and 27, look at the idea of what it says, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God. And that's the idea. What is pure religion? And don't get me wrong. We don't talk about religion, the observance side of things, and the idea that there's false religions out there. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. It's a relationship. It's not based off of our works. It's based off of our relationship. But when we have a relationship, we're going to want to worship. And that's what pure religion is, just talking about worship. And there's people out there that will talk about the old-time religion. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And look at what the Bible says is the old-time religion. But before we get there, I think it's important that we look into the mirror this morning and see what we should do with the Bible. Because looking into the mirror or looking into the Bible, there's some things that will help us. I'm going to be tempted to preach almost every single verse for a long period of time because there's so many great verses here, but we're going to do our best to just kind of go over some of these, hopefully hit what the Lord wants us to hit, and then leave the rest for tonight. Looking into the mirror. Do you want to be a successful, vibrant Christian? Hopefully the answer is yes. The only way that happens is when we stay in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that has the power that changes. It's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that help a person get saved and help them know that they need Christ. It's the Bible. I'm not just talking about casually looking and reading the Bible. I'm talking about when the Bible says, looketh in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It's saying the person who actually will stop and stand. And I know sometimes you can go and you can look in a mirror and you can look really fast and say, oh yeah, I look fine, and just keep on walking away. missing what the mirror was truly showing us or trying to show us because we just took a casual glance. I'm talking about if we truly want to be blessed, like the Word of God talks about, is we're going to take time to look into the Word of God, and we're going to take time to apply that to our hearts and apply that to our lives just as much, if not even more, as we look into a mirror and say, hey, I need to shave, or I need to clean up something around my eyes, or I need to fix my hair. We look into the Word of God, and it allows and shows us the things we should work on and need to work on. Let's look here in Luke, James chapter number 1. We're going to start in verse number 19. You could spend a few hours talking about this verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, he's speaking to someone he loves. He's speaking to other Christians. Then it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Once again, fantastic verse there. We're going to just look at it, hit it for a second. If we're talking about looking into the mirror, are we like this? Are we a person that is swift to hear? What does swift mean? Ready to hear. Anxious to hear what's being said, ready to listen. Then it goes and says, slow to speak, which means the word slow, obviously, to give her opinion. The Bible's saying here, hey, look, if you truly want to be blessed, you're going to be someone who is able and willing to listen. And that's what we're talking about, and even in the Word of God, as we look at it, we're ready to hear, we're ready to listen, and we're slow to speak, we're slow to give our opinions because we want to hear what people have to say. Not the Bible, but I've heard it said more than once in my life, God's given you two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we talk. And the reality is, I know some people who like to talk twice as much as they like to listen. And I'm not talking about someone who just likes to talk and just trying to fellowship, because there are talkers. There are people who have a talent to sit and talk, can talk, and you enjoy listening to them. But there are others who get this principle. Is saying, hey, I'm ready to listen, but I'm not as quick to speak. And not only am I not as quick to speak, it says slow to wrath. I'm someone that is not going to get angry very quickly. So here's the principle there that's found. Hey, I'm going to be quick to listen. And this would help inside our families, help inside of our marriages, help inside our relationship with our kids. Do we really truly listen? Or, like most of us, we're just listening to somebody so we get a chance to talk. How many times are you in a discussion or an argument and you're listening because you know you're supposed to be patient? You know you're not supposed to cut that next person off. You know you're supposed, but you're not really listening to what they have to say. You're just listening so that way you can get your chance to talk. And the whole time while the person's speaking, you're not really interested in what actually is being said, what's being applied, or how it could change, or maybe where you're wrong. You're actually listening, and while they're talking, you're developing your rebuttal. You're developing your argument. You're developing your side. You're developing why they are wrong. Do we do that with the Bible? We're looking in the mirror, and sometimes we don't like what the mirror shows us. Oh, it's this reason, or the lighting's not good, or it must be one of those skinny mirrors, or it must be one of those big mirrors. That's why the Bible's saying, be slow to speak, and even slower to wrath, because we should be able and willing to listen to others. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It's because it's, look at the next verse. It says, for the wrath of man, is talking about a fleshly wrath, a fleshly anger, that because we were not swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's saying you're not going to do God's will. You're not going to do God's things God's way when you have the wrath of man on you. We like to think in our righteous anger, our righteous zeal, we can go and we can rip people's heads off. We can say what we want without even giving consideration, without even listening, without even showing any type of mercy or any type of grace. We can, with the wrath of man, think we're doing God's work. And don't get me wrong, there is a holy zeal, and there is a time when we should be angry in the righteous way for God's sake. But that's not what he's saying. If you're not able to listen, and if you're quick to speak and you're quick to wrath, you know, there's a problem here, there's an issue here, because you're not going to do the righteousness of God that way. Sometimes when I have a conversation with somebody and there's someone who has a greater sin, someone who has done something that's wrong and hurt somebody else, I try to tell sometimes it's the offended party, the person that has been hurt, be careful how you react. You can't control them, but you can control how you react. And I said, what does that mean? Because the point is, we want this person to get right. We want this person to get right, reconciled back in a relationship. We want this person to be right with God. That's the whole principle. That's the whole point. It's not to try to prove that so-and-so is right and that I'm better than you. No, the point of a biblical restoration, a biblical reconciliation, is we want to fellowship together so we can win people for Christ, because that's our purpose here in this world, is to live as salt and light in this world. And they're turning around here and they're doing something wrong. But when you become angry, when you become wrong, even if you're the offended one, even though you, the world says it's okay for you to be angry, the world tells you it's okay to get back, you know what? You're doing the world's work. You're not doing God's work. What we're saying is, hey, I got to do this because they need God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You need God just as much as they do if you're going to retaliate in the same way that they are. So it's gotta be careful. That's why we should be slow to speak. I'm sorry, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The whole purpose is because in our anger, we're not going to be working the righteousness of God. So looking in the mirror. If we're going to look in the mirror, if we're going to look into the Bible the right way, there's three things I want you to think about. Fourth thing we're going to add on as a bonus. The first thing I want you to think about is looking without obstacles. Looking without obstacles. If you have a mirror and it's there, and I don't know if you've been there before, I just dropped my sons off at college, and they have these dorm rooms. They were blessed. Their college seems to be pretty full. Unfortunately, they got four people inside a small room. Usually when you're at college, you're hoping to only have three people inside a small room. If you're really blessed, you only have two people inside a small room. But they're there, and there's not a lot of showers, and there's not a lot of mirrors around. And when you're there, and you're trying to look inside the mirror, it doesn't help when something's blocking it. Like if you're trying to look in the mirror and I'm standing in front of you, you're not going to get that much of a good look, are you? You're not going to see very much because something's blocking it. I mean, you might be able to, and sometimes when there's a bunch of people trying to look in a mirror, if you live in a little house or have a little mirror and lots of people are trying to look, you want to get people out of the way so you can actually look at things. There, I mean, you're not going to be able. So the person that's the shortest, they stand in front and they kind of scrouch down. I grew up in a very small house and didn't have lots of mirrors around. If you wanted to try to get ready, sometimes you had to look around things just to be able to see into the mirror. Now, if we're truly going to take a good look into the Bible, there's some things that are obstacles. I remember reading, and I don't know where it came from, if it was some little book or something like that, or try to look it up to see who the author was. It talked about a man that had a carrot in his ears. And he said, what? And there was a guy that said to the man, hey, you have a carrot in your ears. And guy's like, huh? And he said again, hey, do you know you have a carrot in your ears? And he said, what? And he asked him a third time. The guy said, I can't hear you. I have a carrot in my ears. Silly, isn't it? But is that what we do with God's word? It's there. It's available. It's trying to speak to us. Is that what we do with God when God's trying to speak to our hearts? And we have something that is clogging our ear gates. Where we're saying, okay, God, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to look at it. But I'm not going to listen to what's being said because there's something that's stopping it. And many times that's a sin. Or that's something that is a stronghold. Look what it says in verse number 20. One, it says, wherefore lay apart. He's saying, look, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't that a great phrase? Superfluity of naughtiness. And then it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So when we're considering the word of God, he's saying, when you're looking in the mirror, it does not help to be looking in a mirror when something is between you and the mirror, when there's something that's blocking it, when there's something there that is, you're holding on to, that you cannot properly hear or that you cannot properly see. And what the scripture is saying here is if you truly want the Bible to speak to you, if you truly want the Bible to be alive to you, if you truly want to know what God's word has to say, then there are certain things in this world we have to be willing to set aside. There are certain things in this world that we have to really be willing to set apart. If you truly are seeking revival, you truly really want to hear from the Lord and you want to get something out of this word, there are certain things I have to say goodbye to or get rid of in order to have a good look into the mirror. But oftentimes there are things in our lives that we just love so much that I'm okay with what the Bible says as long as it doesn't tell me what to change. Bible says A, B, and C. I'm good with A, not so sure about B, and I'm still thinking about C. There's a problem there because A, B, and C is what the mirror is, and as we apply it to our lives, we don't like what it says sometimes. So instead of truly looking at the mirror, we begin to look at the obstacles and say, oh, I don't see it as clearly anymore, because I'm not looking at it clearly or straight for what the Word of God has to say. I'm looking at it based off of my circumstances, my feelings. And that's when he says, look, you have to be willing to lay certain things aside. You have to be willing to lay certain things apart. Not only is it looking without obstacles, you have to look at it honestly also. Look what it says as it continues in verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Then it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Which is able to save your souls. Now, you think about the receive with meekness, the engrafted word. That word meekness is talking about a compliant spirit. A spirit that is ready to obey. A spirit that is teachable. A spirit that is trainable. A spirit that is controllable by the Holy Spirit of God. As when we look into the Word of God, we're not just trying to check off a list. We're not just trying to say, okay, I've read the Bible. I've heard the preaching for the week. Now I can just go do what I want. No, it's with meekness, with humility, saying, as I look in that Bible, it's like looking in a mirror. And when that mirror shows me something I need to change, I'm going to change it. I'm going to look at verse number 19, and when it tells me, hey, I should be quicker to hear than I am to speak, I should be careful not to become angry, because when I'm angry, I'm not going to work the righteousness of God. The point is, are we taking an honest look? And once again, I looked at some of those mirrors that are supposed to make you look skinnier. Some of them are really expensive. And you know why? It's because people want to look thinner. They don't care about reality, but as long as they can look good, they have those mirrors, and sometimes in stores to try to make you look better in the clothing. You don't know why you look better in the store than you do there, because sometimes I was reading at some of the stores, especially the ladies' stores that they have there, they're trying to manipulate the way you look so that way you'll buy something. But if you're going to honestly look at the Word of God, you have to come with the humility saying, I know that is God's Word. I know it may show me something I don't really want to change. It may reveal something about me that I enjoy holding on to. But it's God's words. It's not my words that I need. I need to look in that mirror because I cannot see myself. And then it says that why people really truly don't understand the Word of God is because they believe it's okay to say no to it. So not only is it looking without obstacles and looking honestly with an honest and open heart, it's looking with the purpose of changing what is needed. Looking for the purpose to change what is needed. I don't know about you, when I go to look in this mirror in the morning time, I've seen people. I've even seen teenage guys, which I think is a little strange, just kind of look in the mirror because they think that they're good looking. Oh, and, you know, they kind of look one way and look another way. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm not handsome or whatever, or maybe they are, or maybe they're just a little stuck on themselves. They just kind of like the way they look, and they just enjoy looking in the mirror. I think that's what, when I look in a mirror, I'm doing it to see if there's something I need to change. I'm doing it because of the fact that I know that if I don't look, I'm not going to be able to look as good as I could possibly could. Why do you look in the mirror? Why do you look in the Word? Is it really with the intention to change? Do we really open up the Word each and every day and say, okay, God, I know I'm not perfect, and I want to humbly ask you, Lord, I know that you are, and there are some things I know I could work on. Can you please show me and enlighten those things to me? You know, there's people that have different mirrors. They have different ones that will amplify, and they have different ones and different lightings and different ways. You can look completely different in certain lights and in other lights, all those different things. But the reality is, the Word of God, as we look into it, it gives us the example of how we need to change. And you continue on. It says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what the scripture is saying here is, don't just hear, don't just read. You deceive yourselves. If you go and look into a mirror, you see that you look a mess, and you tell yourself, oh, I look fine. I don't need to get rid of that blemish. I don't need to cover that up. I don't need to comb my hair. I don't need to shave because I'm just fine. And that's what it's saying here in verse 23. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the principle, the illustration is that a person who is needing to change looks into a mirror and then hopefully combs their hair the best way they can, or shaves, is that what they need to do, or they do something to do the best they can for their features. That's why they look into the mirror, and that's what it's saying here in the Bible. Is when you get into the Word of God and you view the Word of God, you say, I know it's God's Word. I don't want to just read it to read it. I don't want to just cross it off a list. I want to get into the Word of God and I want to apply it to my life. I don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. I don't want to just be a doer, a reader of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word, because just as foolish it is to look into the mirror and say, hey, I look bad, I know I look bad, and I don't care, I'm going to just walk away. People would not do that. I look across the room, and you all look very well groomed. You all look pretty sharp. You're all dressed up, and you all look like you've been looked into the mirror today. And I'm not talking about in a vain way, like some of those teenagers I've seen. Oh, I look nice today. I look good. We live in a selfie-type generation. People are taking pictures of themselves all the time. And it's not to just send it to their parents or send it to their friends. They take a picture of themselves just so they can see how good they look. And they post it on Facebook, and they post it everywhere else just because they want to see themselves. I tell you, it's a challenge. Yeah, beauty is vain. And we must understand that there's nothing wrong with looking nice, nothing wrong with looking and putting in the mirror. But if we begin to consider that to be more important than what somebody dying, going to hell, or being willing to dress in a way modestly, or being willing to try to be attractive to others, but not also trying to be sensual, there's a challenge today that we live in with the world that we're living in. So what does it mean? If you turn around and you just forget that you look bad and just keep on going your way pretending like nothing's wrong, there's an issue. There's a problem. I know I never brought the mirror up, but we've used this illustration for years because I know what I look like in the morning time. Some people pick on me because I wear a lot of hairspray. If you saw my hair without hairspray, it would be up. It would be like crazy looking. And that's what it usually looks like in the morning time. If I got up this morning, one of these years I might do that, just get up and have my hair just going every which way and try to preach like that and use the illustration. I looked in the mirror. I thought I looked fine. Yeah, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? I remember there was one young man, and it was a Holcomb. The Holcombs used to come to our church. You taught that illustration to the kids in junior church. We went to camp one year, and he stayed up all night to see what my hair would look like in the morning time. He laid in the bunk right next to me, and at camp's a little bit different. I don't get much sleep at camp. At camp, there's not much rolling around, so my hair didn't look. He was so disappointed that next morning. He told his dad his hair still looked the same, and I said, he says, I stayed up all night. And it's the difference is, when you see yourself, you want to change something. But how often do we really look into the Bible to ask God to be that discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? How often do we want the truth? We go to a mirror so it reveals the truth to us so we can fix the things that are wrong. We might not like it, but we're thankful for it so it can show us the things that we need to change. And the Word of God, we go to the Word of God, and sometimes we look at it and we treat it like, oh, that's nice. I hope so-and-so gets that. I hope so-and-so. You know what? It's the Word of God, and it's something when we look into it, it's for the purpose of changing. James gives this great example. It talks about the word being like a man who wakes up, or a woman that wakes up in the morning time and they leave. Look what it says at the end of verse number 24. Forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let's keep on going. It says, but verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, as being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed and his deed. So verse 25, I want you to think about that. Looketh. He takes a good look. I know that I've been at camp before, and I've dealt with little guys, and I've dealt with big guys. I've dealt with guys, boys that get in there and say, okay, go get your shower. They're like, it's camp. I don't need a shower. You need a shower. And they get in there, they're in the bathroom for 1 minute, and they come out and they look the same way. It's like they didn't even look in the mirror. They didn't even take the time to consider. Now, once again, there's the other people that sometimes will stay in there way too long. You're banging on the door. Other people got to use the bathroom. And they're taking forever to look into the mirror because they want to look as good as they can. And you got other kids, and they're going there, wash your face. They come out, I did. Did you even look in the mirror? The mud's still on your face. There's a problem. There's an issue. It's because they didn't take a good look. They ran in, they looked in the mirror, and they ran out because there was something else they wanted to do. They wanted to get to the pool time, or they wanted to get to the field time, or they wanted to go eat dinner. Well, that doesn't usually happen at camp. They eat because they have to, but they don't usually look forward to it because of the camp food. But either way, it's they're anxious about doing something else. They don't want to take the time to look in the mirror. They'll come, and they'll take a quick look, and they'll run out. How often do we do that with this? Take a quick look. Okay, I know I'm supposed to read a chapter a day or three chapters a day or six chapters a day, and I know I got to do it. Let me see how quickly I can get it done. And we get in there. God's trying to speak to us. We have not removed the obstacles. We have not looking for the purpose of changing. Instead, we haven't taken a good look. And that's what it's saying here in verse 25, but whoso looketh. It's the idea that they will stop. They will stoop down, and they will pay attention to what's there. And that's the point is, we need to look. Then it says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's saying that that person is going to be blessed. That person is going to be happy. That person is the one who has paid attention to what the word says and then applies it to their life. It does us no good to wake up and look in the mirror and say, I know I have a problem, I just don't care about that problem, and then go on. You don't even need to look in the mirror if you know that. But it's when we look into the Bible and we hear what the Bible has to say, instead of just hearing and applying it to our life, instead of just hearing it, we apply it to our life. That's when we're blessed. That's when the things change. When it says things about being forgiving, when it says things about obeying, when it says things about what we should watch and what we should not watch, what we listen to and what we should not listen to. So when we take those things and we hear the verse that says, hey, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, when we look at God and say, God, I don't want the wrath of man because I know the wrath of man is not going to do your work, and I want to do your work. I want to do your righteousness, God. So help me to be a person that is swift to hear. Help me be a person that is slow to speak and slow to wrath because I don't want to do the works of the devil. I want to do your works, God. And we take those verses and we apply it to our lives and we say, okay, I'm looking in the mirror. Is this something I need to change? Do I need to be more faithful? Because that's what the Bible says. Do I need to be a better prayer warrior? I mean, the Bible talks about meditating on the scriptures in so many different parts. And it talks about the success that comes with meditating on the scriptures and thinking about the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures that will have great success. Here it's saying we'll be blessed when we take time to look into the scriptures and say, what is it that I need to change? And what is it that I need to work on? What is it that I need to be more like Christ? So this morning, take a look into the Bible. What does it say about salvation? Take a look in the mirror. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? I had somebody email me, and they said they're looking for a church. I got the email today, this morning, when I opened it up. They had email on Friday. They said they're looking for a church, and they asked some questions about salvation. Do you believe this or do you believe this? And I'm going to respond to them. I'm going to respond to them in what I believe is a biblical way. And it's the same. It's an age-old question that they ask. But as you look into the Bible, have you ever come to God his way? Has there ever been a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner and that you knew that your sin had separated you from God and that if you cried out to him and asked him to save you, It's realizing that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin that we have in our life, there is a penalty that's to that sin. There's a wage that we have to pay. And that's eternal separation from God forever in a horrible place called hell. It says it in the Bible. But while we are all headed to hell, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ paid that payment for us. And the only way we can get to heaven is not by our good works. It's not about grandma or granddad being saved, not about mom or dad being saved. It's I myself feel the conviction that God has placed on my heart because of my sin. And God has paid that sin debt through Jesus Christ. And I must believe and trust in him. I must change the way I think about God. I must turn from believing in something else and believe in God alone for my salvation. And with my entire heart, ask Christ to save and believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. Not based off of what someone else said, not based off of what somebody had you just say some words as a prayer, based off of looking into the Bible, based off of reading and looking into the mirror, am I truly a Christian today? Because there's people who don't want to see what the scripture has to say. When I email this person back, I'm going to just say, this is how our church feels. This is how I feel. And this is what the scripture says. And as we look into that mirror, are you a Christian today? If you're not, according to what the Bible says, today is a day of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God is speaking to your heart, you can get that right today. You can look into the Bible and see what the Bible says. And by faith, take what it says and put your faith and trust in him. And leave this place a redeemed individual, a child of God. Just like anything else, when we look at our anger, or when we look at our frustrations, when we look at there, it's all in here. It's just when we look at it, are we looking to change things based off what we see in the scriptures? Tonight, when we look at verses 26 and 27, we're going to look at the idea of what pure religion is, what real worship is, and we're going to see what it means. It means that we're going to have control over tongues. It means that we're going to be compassionate. It means that we're going to be someone that is not spotted by this world. Doesn't mean it's a list of do's and don'ts. It means that this is what God says true worship is. And as we look into the Word of God and we look at this, it's about a relationship. And because we love God, that means there are going to be some things I'm willing to do and some things I shouldn't do. And there's going to be some things I'm not willing to do. And there's some things that, you know, there's a description that's there. But what does the Bible say is old-time religion? And tonight, as we look at that, we're like, okay, let's see what the Bible has to say. Let's look into the mirror and see what God's trying to say to my heart. So today, the encouraging thing is there is a mirror. You ever been to a spot and you don't know how you look, and maybe you're out at a store or somewhere else? You know, for me, because I have the different calyx in my hair, if my hair's sticking up, someone tells me, my sons or my wife. And if I can't see it, it's a little frustrating. I try to fix it. And, you know, you hate it when your wife takes her thumb and tries to push it down. She doesn't do that very much. But if I can't see it, you're like, no, just leave it alone. I'd rather have it sticking up than you sitting there trying to get it down. And you don't got a mirror. You can't see. The wonderful thing is we have a mirror here that's true. Doesn't make you look any skinnier. Doesn't make you look any fatter. Doesn't make you look any better or any worse. It's the truth. But are you willing to remove the obstacles in your life so you can see it? You're willing to remove the obstacles to hear it, to look into the perfect law of liberty? Not only that, are you looking into it to make a change? Do you receive the word of God with honesty, with humility, and with meekness, saying, I am teachable, I am trainable? And do you take a long enough look to see what the issues are? The sad thing is, if we spend more time looking in the mirror in the morning than in the Bible, there's probably something wrong. If we spend more time caring about what our outward man looks like than our inward man, then there's something we need to talk to God about during our invitation time. Ask God if there's something you want me to change. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look into the word See what it says about specific topics, or just as you're reading, apply those things to your life. Look into the mirror and see if there's something you need to change. Because you know what? The mirror always reveals the truth. This is truth. We might not like what we see. And as we get older and older, a little bit less hair, a little bit more weight, a little bit more of this, that. We don't really like what we see in the mirror sometimes. We wish we could change it. And there are some things that we physically can't change. But praise the Lord. Spiritually, with God's help, we can become like Him. There's things that we don't like what we see, but He says that we'll be blessed when we become a doer of the word, not just a hearer. You can have as many outlines you want in that notebook. You can hear as many sermons as you have heard in your life. And I tell you, as the bulletin says, I'm 48 years old on Friday, and I probably have heard four messages on average in the last 48 years of my entire life. I've heard plenty of sermons, not counting the things you listen to online, not counting the special meetings. That is a ton of messages. But if you don't apply it, it's not going to make any difference. Let God show you what you need to work on. Let's pray.